All right, folks, as we mentioned earlier, today is the 40th anniversary of the release of the Schaefer Commission report, the one that recommended decriminalization of marijuana to President Nixon, and the one that President Nixon promptly threw in the garbage and then started the war on drugs that we're all enjoying today. Here to talk about it is someone who was there for the release of that report and someone for whom that report's release must have been incredibly good news at the time, Keith Stropp, the founder of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Law, from Washington, D.C. Hi, Keith. How's it going?
It's going fine. Nothing I'd rather talk to you about than the National Commission on Marijuana and Drug Abuse. I think it was the single most important development in the last 40 years.
Yeah, and this is back when they spelled marijuana with an H.
Well, they tried. Most people didn't, but you're right. The actual report was spelled with an H.
Maybe that's why we didn't get it decriminalized, because he must have thought we were talking about some other drug.
Yeah, they didn't realize it was that same drug that caused all those Mexicans to go crazy.
Yeah. So, of course, when you founded Normal, it was 1970, 1971 when we get the official paperwork. So, you know, you can decide on which date's the official date or whatever. But since 1970, you've been fighting this. And so for, you know, 2 years in, 2.5 years in, to have the federal government come back with a report that says basically what you'd been saying all those years, how'd that make you feel?
Well, I'll be honest with you, it was a surprise, because when the commission was first created, we expected that it was simply going to be a group of old white men who were going to say the status quo was working fine, leave things alone. Keep in mind that this was a 13-member congressional-created committee. Four of the members were chosen by Congress from among themselves, that is, two members of the House of Representatives and two senators. But nine of the members were handpicked by former President Nixon to serve on the commission. So obviously, we presumed that they had picked people who would reinforce Nixon's anti-marijuana position. So our expectations were pretty low when that commission started their work. And in fact, the first exchange I had with the commission, Normal had only been in existence a few months, and I read that they were going to hold their hearing in Washington, D.C., and I sort of naively sent a letter to the staff director saying, hi, my name's Keith Stropp. I've recently founded a group called Normal, and we'd like to testify at your hearing. I was young and naive enough that I didn't realize the unlikely aspect of not being invited to testify. At any event, within just a couple of days, I got a note back from the executive director saying, we're really not interested in hearing from you. Mm-hmm. Well, at that phase, I thought, well, I can't be deterred totally. So I had been working closely with former Attorney General Ramsey Clark at the time. And Ramsey, in fact, had been Attorney General only a few years earlier before that. So he was still a prominent American. And I had been working with him to get Normal up and running. So I went back to Ramsey Clark and said, Ramsey, would you be willing to testify on our behalf if we can get you invited? And he said, sure, I'd be happy to. So I get back in touch with the commission and said, well, how about this? Former Attorney General Ramsey Clark would like to testify on our behalf. And sure enough, within a day or two, I had a note back saying, Mr. Stropp, we're not interested in hearing from you or from Mr. Clark.
Oh, yeah.
And at that point, I simply went to the media, and naturally, the media wasn't particularly concerned about whether the commission wanted to hear from Normal, because nobody had heard of Normal at the time, but they were a little surprised that they weren't interested in hearing from a man who just a couple of years earlier had been the Attorney General of the United States. And so there were major stories in the Washington Post and the New York Times saying, commission refuses to hear from former Attorney General Clark. Within a few hours, the chairman of the commission, Governor Raymond Schaefer, or former Pennsylvania Governor Raymond Schaefer, was on the phone to Ramsey Clark apologizing and inviting him to testify indeed at the first hearing. And even more than that, within a couple of days, I had a letter from the staff director inviting me to testify on behalf of Normal. Now, they didn't invite me to testify at the main hearing here in Washington, D.C., but nonetheless, they scheduled me to testify at a hearing a few months later in San Francisco. And as the story goes on, it's the first time I had a chance to meet Michael Aldrich and poet Allen Ginsberg, who were there testifying on behalf of a group called LEMAR, which was an earlier legalization group that eventually morphed into Amorphia and Amorphia subsequently merged with Normal, so there was a long history there. And also, at a hearing in Chicago later that year, the commission held, I had the chance to meet for the first time Guy Archer and Frank Fioramonte, two young lawyers from New York, who were working on a project they had established with the Bar Association to try to legalize marijuana, and they ended up converting it into New York Normal. And indeed, before that decade was up, they had decriminalized minor marijuana offenses in New York State. So, at any event, when they started, we didn't expect much out of the commission, but before too long, we began to hear stories that they were not as closed-minded as we had thought, and that there might be some hope for this commission after all.
Yeah, so it must have been a pleasant surprise when you got the news from the commission that they had recommended decriminalization. And I think it's important to underscore as well, it wasn't just decriminalization for personal possession, but also for small transfers. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. What the commission actually recommended was the elimination of all criminal penalties, or all penalties, period, for the possession and use of marijuana and for the not-for-profit transfers of small amounts of marijuana between adults. Now, it's interesting where that came from. Somewhere during the course of that first year, I had developed enough of a friendship with a couple of members of the commission. In particular, Dr. Tom Ungerleiter from UCLA was someone we developed a friendship with. And I learned that, in fact, they had held a number of private sessions in which they had invited adults who smoked marijuana to attend those sessions and to smoke in front of the commissioner.
Oh, wow.
Realized these were mostly older white men. Most of them had never seen a marijuana cigarette in their life, nor had they ever seen anyone who was smoking marijuana. So they didn't have any basis to evaluate the experience. And someone had the foresight and the courage to say, well, then why don't we invite some marijuana smokers in? Frankly, I think today people would be afraid to do that for fear that somehow the government would come in and bust them all or something. But at the time, they did. And I think, obviously, what they decided after experiencing what it was like to see people smoking marijuana is that it was no big deal. And they also learned that, where do you get your marijuana? Well, what the smokers told them is that we all buy it on the black market, or we grow a few plants ourselves, but we also share it among our friends on a not-for-profit basis. And, of course, that's still true today. How many times do we go to a social event and we throw a couple of joints in our pocket because we know there'll be marijuana there, but we want to share. We want to share our good marijuana with our friends who have their good marijuana. So by the time the Marijuana Commission report was actually issued in March of 72, we were by then expecting that it might well be a pretty good report. We were hoping it was going to recommend full legalization, and when it came out and did not, when it came out and just simply recommended decriminalizing the marijuana smoker and decriminalizing minor not-for-profit transfers, we actually had an internal debate for a month or so at Normal, unsure as to whether we should complain about what we did not receive or whether we should celebrate what we had received. And, of course, after just a few days of kicking it back and forth, I think we all came to our senses and realized that this report was, in fact, an incredibly significant step forward in the public policy debate on marijuana. It's the first and only national commission we've ever had in this country to focus on marijuana policy. And the idea that it was handpicked by an anti-marijuana zealot, Richard Nixon, and yet they still came back and essentially agreed with our basic position that there's nothing wrong with responsible use of marijuana, it was a godsend indeed. And the second part of that, I should add, is that the commission itself went out of business as soon as they completed their two-year report. There were no provisions in the section of the Controlled Substances Act that had created the commission. There were no provisions for them to take that report and try to implement it at the state level. So Normal was the only group around to do that. And indeed, as a young, idealistic public interest organization, we were only too happy to take that report and to pick some good witnesses from around the country. And we basically went around, and if we could identify any state legislator in any state who was willing to introduce a marijuana decriminalization proposal, we would fly witnesses out to support that proposal at no cost to the legislator or to the legislature and make sure that that they were not embarrassed by introducing the bill. And in fact, they came away feeling that it was a good thing they had done. Now, the first several, of course, didn't get passed, and we weren't sure which states were going to adopt it and which weren't, but there were a number of states considering it in 72 and 73. As it turned out, Oregon was the first state to finally adopt the version of decriminalization in 1973. But by 1978, we had adopted decriminalization in a total of 11 states, and at the time, we thought the wind was behind our back and that there was no stopping this. Within just a few years, we expected to have decriminalized marijuana throughout the country. The reality was that we were unaware, but the mood of the country was becoming far more conservative by the end of the 1970s, and we didn't win another statewide victory. The last state to win that we won during the 70s was Nebraska in, I believe, 77. It might have been 78. We didn't win another single statewide victory until 1996, when California adopted the legal medical use of marijuana. We went 18 years without a statewide victory. But again, it wasn't that we were doing anything wrong. It was that the mood of the country had turned against us, and about all we could do was keep our head below the firing line.
Yeah.
Fortunately, starting in about 1990, as you're familiar with those various polling surveys, we can demonstrate that the mood of the country began to come back in our direction, and it's been a steady but slow climb in our direction ever since. And if it continues for another 3, 4, or 5 years, I think without question, we're going to have a handful of states that will have fully legalized marijuana in this country.
All right. We're speaking with Keith Stopp, the founder of Normal, on this, the 40th anniversary of the Schaefer Commission's report recommending the decriminalization of marijuana for adult use. And, of course, that report, instrumental, like you said, in gaining decriminalization throughout the 1970s with 11 states that passed decrim. But it wasn't the first government to ever report on this. It was the first federal, national, United States report, but we had the LaGuardia Commission report, British East India Hemp report, even going back to 1894. We don't have a single government that's looked at this yet that said we ought to be criminalizing pot smokers. So was it just the national scope of this that made this have more impact than, say, LaGuardia's study?
Oh, without question. I think the LaGuardia report was terribly important at the time, but it was only a New York State report. It didn't have the same kind of national impact as a Congressional Commission report would have. And also keep in mind that having lived through the 50s and the 60s, when everything was marijuana leads to heroin and marijuana's dangerous and marijuana's reefer madness, there was an enormous amount of misinformation that was prevalent at the time, and not just zealots. I mean, the average American thought that marijuana was an incredibly dangerous drug and that using it inevitably led to being addicted to heroin and other far more dangerous drugs. So to try to legalize a drug when so much misinformation was around was almost impossible. And the real value of that Marijuana Commission report was that they simply had the resources of the federal government at their disposal. They had access to every report that had ever been done. They had access to every researcher. They gave every person that felt strongly either way about marijuana a chance to voice their opinion. And the bottom line was they concluded that marijuana smoking is no big deal, and it simply did not deserve to be treated as a criminal matter. And that is the essence of our position even today. So I literally do not believe we could be in the position we're in today but for that report back in 1972. We were disappointed that the Congress did not act on it, of course, and we were disappointed that more states didn't act on it immediately. But nonetheless, over the longer haul, what's clear is it was, I think, the single most important development in the marijuana legalization field since 1970 when we came into existence.
Right. And for younger listeners, understand the tenor of the times then with Richard Nixon coming into office as, you know, with his tough on crime platform, and just the year prior had declared drugs to be public enemy number one. In setting up this commission, there's even a famous statement from his White House tapes where he says, I want a goddamn strong statement on marijuana, one that just tears the ass out of them. And something else about the Jews, apparently, what the Christ is with the Jews, Bob. So Nixon was coming into this, you know, with a racial hatred, a kind of an anti-Semitic hatred of marijuana legalization. Did you ever think there was any possibility that he would take seriously the recommendations of this commission?
No, honestly, we did not. In fact, what I was kind of amazed at the time was that they had done such a poor job of vetting the candidates that they were picking for the commission, because clearly, if they would have wanted to, if they would have been thorough in their work, they could have found 13 people who shared Nixon's outrageous views on marijuana, and they could have gotten a report back that simply said the status quo makes sense. Let's stay with this war on marijuana. So on one hand, it was their own fault. They were careless when they picked their candidates, and they inadvertently included some people that wanted to do the right thing, yeah, wanted to find out the truth about marijuana and act accordingly.
Oops, but honest
even
researchers.
Then, we knew, by the way, even then, that there was no way in hell that Nixon was going to pay any attention. He had even said to Raymond Schaefer at some point that don't even think about coming back with a legalization recommendation. And when the report was made public, generally the procedure is the White House invites the committee members to come to the White House for a reception, and there's a social event, and he officially accepts the report. Because he didn't like their recommendations, he told them just to have the report delivered to the White House.
Yeah, he tried to bury it on a Friday, and I guess luckily for Nixon, or luckily for us maybe, no Fox News existed back then to amplify some of his rhetoric like that. Speaking of these presidents, you know, and you know, we had Nixon with his strong statements, and then, like you said, the wind was at your back. You got this recommendation. Watergate happened. Ford kind of just stumbled around for a while, and then Jimmy Carter ran for president calling for decriminalization at the federal level, so it was an amazing time. But then come 1980, we get Ronald Reagan saying he's got evidence that smoking one marijuana cigarette is equal to brain damage of being on Bikini Island during an A-bomb blast. I mean, the rhetoric.
You know, it was the time, it was the advent of what's called the parents groups, which we'd never heard of until the late 70s, early 80s. It was Nancy Reagan and her silly Just Say No campaign, as if somehow if we just said no enough times, drugs would disappear.
Yeah.
And it really was a kind of return to the 1950s. But nonetheless, for about 15 years, that was pretty much reflective of the mood of the majority of the people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's never clear to me what factors contribute when the mood of the country becomes more liberal or more conservative, but I'll tell you, having lived through it, the one thing I came away with is I'm never certain that things are going to continue in our direction just because we've had a good year or a good 2 or 3 years, because I saw it turn around in just 2 or 3 year period at the end of the 70s, mm-hmm. and then I saw it turn around again in our favor in the early 90s. So again, when I am asked to project into the future, I am far more cautious today than I was back then.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I worry about the pendulum swing back and how quickly it can happen, and sometimes without warning for those of us who have stars in our eyes with regard to legalization.
By the way, one thing, Russ, it might be worth mentioning, even when the pendulum of public opinion turned against us, we managed not to lose a single one of those 11 decriminalization laws. Now, it's not that our opponents didn't try. I can assure you that in the majority of those states, our opponents immediately began to introduce bills to recriminalize marijuana. And in a couple of states, we were very close to losing those. But in the end, we managed to retain all 11 state laws. And then by the time the mood of the country came back in our direction in the 90s, we've since added, of course, a couple of more states to that list of decriminalization states as well. Plus, the debate now is not just decriminalizing the user, but as you know, there are a number of states where they are seriously considering full legalization, where there would be some sort of a system where consumers could buy their marijuana in a safe and secure environment, something probably analogous to the alcohol model. So we're moving forward. And as I say, I can't guarantee I'm going to be around long enough to see it, but I think for most of our listeners, they will indeed see full legalization within just a few years.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. It can't happen soon enough. Now, Keith, with respect to this this Schaefer Commission that we're talking about here, what would it take to get the federal government to revisit this issue? I mean, there's been so much change since the 70s, and even some of their claims where they'll say, oh, the marijuana is more potent, or they worry about medical marijuana and all the states that have it now. What could we do to get a new Schaefer Commission?
Well, strangely enough, because the original Marijuana Commission ended up with a report that was far more honest and factual than most of the people expected, it probably makes it more difficult for us to get a new Marijuana Commission today. I would love to see a new commission established. I think with the science behind us today, there's lots of positive science that simply wasn't available back in the early 70s, but it is today. And I have no doubt that any kind of a reputable national commission that took a look at this policy today would not just recommend that we legalize medical use, they would recommend that we fully legalize the responsible use of marijuana for all adults. And so I would love to see another commission established. A little history on how the first one came about. The Congress was having to pass a new drug act because the prior act had been held unconstitutional. Former Harvard professor Tim Leary had been caught. He was busted bringing in a sizable amount of marijuana from Mexico at one point and didn't have a real factual defense, so his lawyers mounted a full court press on a constitutional challenge to the law, and sure enough, ended up winning it. So there were a period of a few months in late 69, early 70, when there was no federal anti-drug act. So Congress quickly put together what's called the Controlled Substances Act of 1970. And mostly that's a terrible act, and it's harsh, and it's got tough penalties, and it has marijuana classified in Schedule I, claiming it has no medical use, etc. But the one good thing about that act, former Congressman Ed Koch from New York, and when he was a member of Congress, he was a very progressive congressman. Now, later, when he was mayor of New York, he was not nearly so liberal, and when he was a radio talk show host, which I think he still does, he's actually a conservative. But at any event, at the time, partly at our request, Ed Koch was willing to insert language into the Controlled Substances Act that would establish this National Commission on Marijuana and Drug Abuse. And it was sort of his trade-off that he would support this act if they would be willing to put this study group in. And I think most members of Congress figured, well, it can't do any harm, go ahead and approve it. Well, as it turns out, the act itself is a terrible act, but that provision that created the Marijuana Commission was the most creative and progressive thing to happen in federal drug policy in many decades. So probably the only way we would manage to get a new Marijuana Commission would be some version of what happened back in 1969 and 70. If there is a piece of legislation which the conservatives in Congress, especially the Republican Tea Partiers in the House of Representatives, for example, if they really wanted it passed, it might be feasible that we could get one of our progressive allies in the Congress to add some language to establish a new Marijuana Commission. And if that opportunity arises, I can assure you we will support it here at Normal. I would love to see that happen.
Yeah, the more facts, science, reason, and logic we can apply to the problem, the better things turn out for us.
Yeah, without question. And don't forget that we still have some, I mean, even though our friends that have been our major supporters for years are retiring this year, both Ron Paul and Barney Frank, we've got new members of Congress, such as Jared Polis from Boulder, Colorado, who are equally as supportive of full legalization, who are going to be around. And I suspect there will be some new members elected to Congress who will have the same position. As some of these states begin to experience the positive aspects of the medical marijuana industry, especially in Colorado, the way it's been developed, what they see is it's not just that they support the medical use of marijuana. They do. They realize it helps a lot of seriously ill patients. But what Representative Polis talks about is the fact that it has attracted young entrepreneurs who created new companies and created new jobs. It's brought new industry into their state. So they see it as filling a badly needed void, creating jobs and creating new industries. And obviously, as more and more people see that firsthand, we're going to have people supporting legalization, regardless of what they think about marijuana, simply because they recognize it would be good for the economy of their state.
Yes, I hope they can see that. I do worry about some of the pendulum swing back on medical with regard to the medical marijuana industry. We saw Montana actually repeal their medical marijuana, only to be saved by a governor's veto. Since then, their patient numbers have dropped by half, and their caregiver numbers have dropped by 90%. And just this week in Michigan, another medical marijuana state, legislators have put forth a bill to remove glaucoma as one of the qualifying conditions. I mean, the very first medical marijuana condition that Robert Randall ever qualified under in the federal law. So it seems to me like we've got to turn this corner on medical and move toward legalization before the pendulum swings back on medical.
Well, I think what we're seeing there is what we all kind of knew was going to happen if we abused those medical laws. There are a few people out there, or there's a subset of our supporters, who believe that all use is medical use, or at least they believe that if we define medical use broadly enough, then everyone in America can qualify. The problem with that, of course, is number one, it's basically dishonest. Most people who smoke marijuana do not use it in any traditional medical sense. They smoke it because they enjoy the effects. It helps them relax in the evening, etc. But also because if, in fact, people see non-smokers, see healthy-looking people appearing to be getting medical marijuana and turning around and selling it in the parking lot to young kids, you can imagine the backlash that causes. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's exactly what's happened around the country. In the states that are currently considering new medical use laws, in order to avoid the problem with diversion that they see on the media from mostly California, frankly, is where most of those stories emanate from, but there was too much of that in Montana as well, where, for example, there was one fellow who was providing medical recommendations by Skype. In other words, he didn't even have to meet the patient or see the medical records. Well, obviously, those are shams. They're not real. We shouldn't be trying to have healthy Americans smoke marijuana under the basis that they're sick. At Normal, we have always considered this is only incidentally about marijuana. It's really about personal freedom. And we're not willing to pay some pot doc a couple hundred bucks and act like we're sick in order for the government to leave us alone. We need to win the right to smoke marijuana regardless of why we smoke. It's none of the government's business. So I couldn't agree with you more. Yes, we want to continue to pass medical use laws in states where they don't yet have it, but we want to focus those laws on seriously ill patients. For those of us who smoke recreationally or for personal use, let's take the time to fight and win full legalization so we don't have to act like we're sick in order to be left alone.
All right. And one last thing before we let you go, Keith. Of course, the big holiday is coming up next month. We're a little less than a month away. 420 is coming. And we will be together in Denver, Colorado, if people want to meet us. Tell folks about what we're doing in Denver and Colorado Normal.
Yes, we will both, Russ and I, will be at the High Times Cannabis Cup on April 21st and 22nd. We'll have a Normal booth there and a Colorado Normal booth. We'll also be participating on some panels, including one in which we're going to be talking about this challenge of refocusing the political attention from simply medical use to full legalization and how to do that in a manner that doesn't undermine the rights, the protections that patients currently have in these various states. We also are going to be having a meeting to reorganize Colorado Normal so that we're up and running and effective, and the purpose of that primarily is to support that full legalization initiative that has qualified for the ballot this fall in Colorado. It's important that Normal be there and be speaking on behalf of the consumers in support of that initiative. So If any folks are from the Denver or Colorado area and have the chance to come in, please come into the Normal booth, introduce yourself, and let's see if we can't plug you into the Colorado Normal effort.
All right. It's exciting with two states voting on legalization here, at least two states in 2012, maybe more. We'll see what happens. But it's an exciting time to be a reformer. And Keith Stopp, the founder of Normal, we're excited that we're very thrilled, actually, that you got it all started for us back in the 70s and are continuing to help us today.
Thank you. Nice to be with you, Russ.
All right. We'll see you in Denver in April.
You betcha.